Hey, what's happening? What's going on in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. When we talked about how to get out of water in last week's episode, and I mentioned that you should try to be as calm as possible, people ask me how can one remain calm after such a horrific incident. Granted, all looks good in theory, but I recall a few of my own incidents, especially the last one that nearly cost me my life. And I understand that you have to go through this ordeal a few times before you actually willingly try to remain calm. But a suggestion is just that. If you can follow the great, if not, then a lot can go wrong. When disaster strikes and we have to react within seconds, chances are we do not the right thing, even if we prepare to react properly. Look at martial arts. How often do you have to repeat something until it's so drilled into you that the body reacts to the very threat in a controlled and appropriate manner? So what I'm saying is not that you should forget to remain calm, since you likely won't be anyway, but this is the point. What I'm saying is, after it happened, and I know the very first few seconds can be terrifying, a certain calmness may likely kick in as long as no other threat appears. With that, I mean that you could get carried out to sea, or the boat does not see you. These are other threats. But if the shark is the only one you fear at this point, and you realize one thing very quickly, it is just more you. No more shark as a threat. The shark is not a threat anymore after it bit. The shark is likely still there because, well, its curiosity is still there, but it doesn't dare to come closer. So it's likely still there and may even shatter you, but that's that. Mind you, I'm talking here about the most common scenario, the exploratory bite. But even after a pattern compensation, where you get bitten at least twice, once it's over, it is over. I can't repeat it often enough. A shark is not a vicious animal. It does not have a hidden agenda. It's not out there to get us. And most importantly, it does not want to hurt us. So I hope you can now grasp my comment a bit better of trying to stay calm. You know, there are always people out there who try to look for holes in your ideas, suggestions, recommendations, and I often get people that come up with the what-ifs. Granted, there are always the what-ifs, but there are sometimes so complicated, so far-fetched, like the one, what if several sharks attack at the same time? It does not happen. I know everybody now has an idea. Oh no, I know this case where several sharks hit one person. It does not happen, and not even in the fatal bite on Jordan Lindsay in the Bahamas that we just had. There were not several sharks involved. I'm still working on this case, by the way, and I promise I will inform you once the investigation is finished. Anyway, that several sharks attack at the same time or have attacked at the same time is never an issue, not even on the USS Indianapolis. And it does not matter how many documentaries they do on the issue and how many past interviews of now deceased sailors they blend in. It just did not happen that way, okay? Our minds play tricks on us during situations like these. I got shipwrecked twice, once during the night and was floating out there. And even me, who loves sharks, I did not feel comfortable since I was so dark and could not even see my belly below me. When it comes to sharks, we have to get more realistic. And that does not just include all the scenarios we cook up, be it because of all the movies, the crappy documentaries, or crappy movies for that matter, or just because our own fantasies are a bit screwed. And now with Sharkfest on Nat Geo and Shark Reel Discovery going on, chances are that some of them start getting new nightmares or being at the beach, even daymares. Sharks are just not these creatures that people make them out to be. If only a fraction of all these sharks would really be vicious, we would not have 60 to 80 incidents per year, but thousands, and then we would have to talk a different language. But as long as we only have these few incidents, mind you, I do not want to belittle the victims here, absolutely not. But this low number of incidents proves that what I keep saying, that sharks are not dangerous, but the situations we humans create is what's dangerous. It is these situations that I keep trying to figure out when an incident happened, and that is exactly what I still do in Jordan's case. I try to understand the chronology of the situation and the wound. And yes, there is a chronology in a multi-bite incident. Which wound is first, second, and third, and the why behind? It comes down to the first bite, because that what started the whole thing, what triggered it, and of course, here I aim at the dangerous situation. So creating non-dangerous situation should always be paramount for any operator, and the same is true for this company that took Jordan and her family out to Rose Island. To what extent they must be held responsible for what happened, Jordan, is still to be decided, okay? Anyway, whenever we enter the water and we are in control of a group or have to watch over them, we must be able to see how things could develop. But you have no idea how sharks can be attracted, motivated, or react to certain triggers. So if you don't understand the behavior, you are not the person who should be in charge, because you have no clue how a dangerous situation could happen, could be created in this scenario. I don't want to go into this now regarding Jordan, but I hope you see where this is going and why we analyze this case. I don't want to confuse you, and I'm not saying that wherever you jump in, you be super aware of what you do that could attract sharks, since who has the knowledge? But what I'm saying is refrain from splashing around loud sounds, and just don't act crazy. Things you would not do either in the jungle, right? My best suggestion for any situation is, when you're out there, remain humble, treat lightly, and respect nature. And that goes with entering the water as well. Whenever I see a shark, small or big, and I notice that the shark sees me as well, I never just move on in that direction or keep doing what I'm doing, but slow down. Try to remain by my spot and just wait. I give the shark time to absorb my presence. Does it then come closer? Great. If not, bummer, but I understand. Not coming close and often means that the shark can't overcome his hesitation. So right there, you see the shark accepts the unknown as something that even the mighty shark may or may not want to explore. And that includes white sharks, tiger sharks, and bull sharks, the sharks we often like to declare as the quote-unquote most dangerous shark species. Yep, the label dangerous is stuff for more than just another podcast, since there is a lot to say about the seemingly dangerous sharks. That's it for today. Tune in again for another show, Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day, and if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege to be among them.